last 3 months. But I want to share a story with you that I think is really cool because I don't get to show this very often. Those of you know, yes, I am one of those people who likes country music, right? And you guys, like, I get picked on all the time for liking country. But last night, my wife showed me something that I thought was amazing. I almost want to play it for you, but I just figured I wouldn't because Kenny would probably leave. I have a little. Someone sent me the other day about country. If you don't like country music, the people who don't like it going, that's going to kill me. You got to turn off. That sounds terrible. But the people who like any of the music going, I don't like it. It's weird how there's such a hatred towards it. But last night, she showed me this thing on Instagram or one of those little media things. And Florida Georgia Line, who was actually here in Indianapolis yesterday, they play a bunch of country songs, was down in Georgia. And they were playing a show in Atlanta. And I guess Chris Tomlin's from the area. And during the middle of their show, they brought Chris Tomlin out on the center stage and said, this is one of our heroes. This is a guy who we've been singing his songs in church. And we just want to let you know, we've asked Chris Tomlin to come up here today and sing one of his great songs. And in front of probably 25, 30,000 people, Chris Tomlin, in the middle of a country music concert, which I'm sure there was a lot of extracurriculars going on because I've been to a lot of those concerts myself, went out and sang How Great Is Our God. Let me tell you, we could hear from the audio the people out there in the crowd singing those words. And as Florida Georgia Line, as they were on the stage with their arms in the air singing How Great Is Our God in front of 30,000 people. Let me tell you, whether you like Chris Tomlin's music, I don't care what kind of music you like. When we think about being fruitful, which is what we're going to continue the last week on, when you think about being fruitful in our lives, it's Chris Tomlin has made a way for a team, a secular band, whether the Florida Georgia Line knows the Lord or not, it's not my judgment to make, right? That's not ours. But he had a privilege of all the years of his fruitfulness of being a worship leader and as being a musician and as being a songwriter, he was able to go into a stage where there were probably a lot of lost people and be able to, and when he was doing that song, he just kept, while they were singing, Florida Georgia Line was singing, How Great Is Our God. He was just going, Lord, we just thank you, Jesus. Right in front of 30,000 people. I'll let you know, I want to be fruitful in my life. It hit me last night as I was watching that video, obviously preparing for this morning. Are we being fruitful in everything we do? Are we fruitful? Are we just going through the motions every day, doing our jobs, working our lives, living our lives, working our lives, meaning that's what we do? Or are we really experiencing the fruitfulness of God? Is our life fruitful? Are we accomplishing things in the kingdom that's going to have lasting, tangible results? Yes, we work because we need to make a living. Yes, we do. We go places because we need to. But is our life full of fruit? And we talked a little bit about this last week, and I couldn't get away from it. Tim and I were talking after church last week about John 15. I thought, I'm going to keep going because there's something about John 15 all week that's been in my heart and challenging me every day, not just for you, for me. Is our life bearing fruit? If it's not, we need to make some changes. And you know what? A lot of times we talk about church being popular. We talked about last week. I know many of you love that message on self-control. It's great. You left here so excited. Like, wow, I need to live a life of discipline and self-control. I can tell the excitement factor when you left here was amazing last week. Those that were gone, which were a lot of you, you missed a message on that, a lot of correction in it. But it was, are we living a life? Part of being fruitful, though, it's not entertaining the things of the flesh. When you have a chance to get angry, self-control rises up. When you have a chance to curse, you don't because self-control rises up. Not because you're such a great spiritual giant. It's because the Spirit of God is working with you to have self-control over those things. When you have temptation, which is drawing you and leading you away and enticing you, the Spirit of God rises up in you, and the fruit of His Spirit inside of you is self-control. You choose not to look at those things. You choose not to partake of those things. You choose not to be a part of the world. That is part of being Spirit-filled. We like the gifts and we like the tongues and the prophecy. Good, I do too. But I like self-control too, because if I'm living in self-control, I have better fruit in my life. If I live in the love of God, well, we don't jump ahead of myself, and I live in joy, there's fruit of that. As Christians, are we modeling those things to the world? That is being fruitful. So let's go back to John 15, and now this time I won't stop at verse 5. We're going to read the rest of this, and we're going to read, well, not the whole chapter, but a lot of it. So let's go and start verse 1 again, and we're going to, this time, we're going to keep going, and we're not going to go back to the other. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges, that it may bring forth much more, or more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except if you abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That's where we stopped last week. That was a really good intro. Because we talked about being connected to the vine. And if we're disconnected from the vine, you're not fruitful. You can't have a branch over here going, I'm bearing fruit, without being connected to the life source of where the fruit comes from. If there is no fruit, we need to go and check our connectivity to the Lord himself. If we're not bearing fruit, if we're not living out the fruits of the Spirit, if we're not living out the manifestation of the Spirit in our life, why? Because maybe the Holy Spirit has got a disconnect somewhere between you and there needs to be repentance or there needs to be some type of purging that takes place in your life. Or maybe you're bearing fruit. This is the good news for some of you in the room. Some of you might be bearing fruit today. You're being fruitful, but there's a chance for you to bear more fruit. Let's cut those suckers back. Let's cut those branches back. And I was going to share this example last week, and I didn't. So I'm going to, because those of you that know, sometimes I get busy with a lot of things, and I neglect a few things around the home. And my little bushes out front didn't become little after a couple years of a lack of pruning, we'll call it. And so my son and my wife decided one day they're going to take it over themselves. And they plugged the trimmers up, and they went to town. I don't have bushes anymore. I've got, but you know what I have? I have a lot of brown areas that look dead, but it's not dead. What it was when you wait too long to prune, you pull it back so far, it takes more time for the life to get back to those branches to bear, to make them look pretty again. Pruning is a wonderful thing so you don't go barren, even bearing fruit. Pruning is so good that when you are bearing fruit and you look, and the actual term is called, and some of you green thumbs out there would know a lot more than me, but it was actually the nickname, because it has the actual name and the name next to it when we bought it from the flower shop, is called the bowling ball bush, okay? And it's like this big old thing, and it got to be like big, and it's not supposed to be that big. And so even though it looked good and it was probably healthy, it wasn't what it was supposed to be. And when we cut it back, which I did the first few times, it looked even better. But this time it's going to take a little bit longer to grow to make it look good again. In our lives, pruning is only good for you. Pruning is great for us. Because when you're bearing fruit in your life and you seem to be doing really well, when you can cut back a few of those things in your life, that still you'll continue to be more and more and more fruitful. And later it says you'll bear much fruit. I want to be a fruitful believer. I want to be somebody that makes a mark on the planet we live in. I want to make a mark where I want to be, and I don't want to be Chris Tomlin, but I want to be the Chris Tomlin who gets invited to go to 30,000 people, and then all of a sudden, after he sings that song, they think they're done, and you know how he does the bridge of how great thou art afterwards, and then all of a sudden he looks out there with hardly any music playing, and he's just singing, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art. 30,000, I don't know how many of them are heathens or not, it doesn't matter. But you know what? What I read on Instagram when she pulled it up was, I needed that so much, thank you. We have no idea what condition some Christians were in that went to that concert. Maybe they were partaking of the world a little too much with what their beverages were. And they were all of a sudden sobered up really quick when all of a sudden, how great thou art comes on that show. I have no idea what we're supposed to be in and what door God is going to open for us. But if we become fruitful in our lives, it will open up doors that God can only open when you're being fruitful. I want to be so fruitful that doors get opened, not because I want to be a bigger name or go into a bigger stage. I'm happy. I'm content. But I know that God wants more. He wants to see us become more of who he's called us to be. Verse 6. But without that, we have to have both sides of it. If a man abide not in me, as a choice, by the way, you see that? It's a choice. He is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, see that if again? You like that? You see, one of the things that I shared last week, and I'm going to get to it in a second because one of the verses down below is going to share it, and so I'm going to jump to a conclusion. Those of you, and now that he's here today, I can go ahead and actually harass him even more because we're family. You see, my brother and I have the utmost respect for my brother. Those that don't know my brother, Matt, he's a student of the word, and we disagree adamantly on some major issues in the scripture. But you know what? I love him more because I respect him more because I know his love for God and the word is powerful. Folks, if you let differences divide you, which we did for a while, it will destroy unity and love in the body of Christ. You need to respect those people who disagree with you. There's some scriptures out here that when you read them, you're going to go, I don't see it that way. But you know, it's okay to not see it eye to eye, but we see the same God. And he loves us, and despite of how we read it and interpret it and how we want to argue, it's never enough. But here's the deal. One thing we do know, that once you're saved, once you're born again, you are full of choices. You can either choose to abide or not abide. Once you are born again, you have the privilege of letting God give you this awesome ability to choose whether you're going to live for him or whether you're going to live and let your flesh control you. And this right here, verse 7, the reason why I love this is we just got told by John saying, hey, this is the story. If you abide in me, you bear fruit. If you abide, I'm going to prune you because I want to make you a little bit more mature in some areas. But then if you don't bear fruit, and I'm going to cut your branches off, and then you're going to get thrown in the fire and you're going to be disconnected completely. But if you choose to abide, going back to that, if you choose to abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done to you. This is one of my favorite. We quote this scripture all the time, whether it's Mark 11, doesn't matter. Ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Look at the qualifier, and every one of them, by the way, have a little different qualifier. One's about forgiveness. All of it's about, if you're living and abiding in me, you could ask whatever. Because if you're abiding in him, it's going to be his desire for your life anyways. If you are asking something and you're abiding in him, why would you, if you're abiding in the vine, ask for something that's contrary to what the vine wants? You're going to ask according to his will and his word, which is what he says later. So that's why I can guarantee you, take it home, take it to the bank, that if you are abiding in him and you are walking in him and his spirit is speaking clearly through you and to you, you should be able to speak and declare and ask anything, and it shall be done. The qualifier, abide in him. Abide in him. And ask what you will, and he'll be done. If you're asking things and it's not being done this morning, that's a lack of fruit. We need to go back and get connected to the vine. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. I like that. So shall you be my disciples, disciplined followers of me. And the Father has loved me, and I have loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, if you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Another avenue of being fruitful in our lives. When you're staying connected to the Father, love. There's going to be one more in a second. So when we're connected to the Father, we're as disciples or disciplined followers. We're the love of God and the Father is manifesting through us. And check this out. These things I have spoken to you, that your joy might remain in you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. Another fruit, another manifestation of being connected to the vine is you have joy in your life. Now let me just ask you just real quick. If I summarize the last 62 weeks that Kenny and I have been preaching on the Holy Spirit, his character, his nature, his gifts, the fruit, and everything else we've been doing. If I could summarize it, these three things pretty much do a great job. If you abide in him, you are connected to the vine, you will be a disciple who loves people and is full of joy. You okay with that right now? I mean, we're all good? You will be a disciplined follower of Jesus, continuing in his word, living out his word in discipline, with his love manifesting through you in all areas, and that your joy is full. I don't know about you, but if the world saw that kind of Christian, that to me is fruitful. That to me would make a mark in any situation you go into. They see someone who's controlled with what they say. Self-control. They got the Spirit of God living in them, so they learn how to discern what they should and should not be doing. There's a lot of Christians who fly off the handle and say this. You know, one of the things that I watched this week about being fruitful, and yes, I am one of those people who watches things I probably should not watch. Well, not that way. But meaning, oh, geez. Let me qualify this. Could you make sure no one splices that tape the wrong way? That could get really bad. I was watching a video this week as I was driving about, and you know, I'll mention the name. It doesn't matter. It's not getting any better, is it? Yeah, let me just. Let's see here. I don't know, do you? Okay, so as I was watching a video driving, it was, I'm trying to think his name, Swaggart, Jimmy Swaggart's son? Donnie Swaggart, was preaching a sermon. And the only reason why it was because I was watching something by Kenneth Copeland earlier. And when this came on, it came on next on the video list. And it was a basic slam of Kenneth Copeland and many of the Word of Faith teachers. And I was utterly angered and disappointed. Because I understand that Kenneth Copeland might have made a mistake when the interview that trapped him in the car, and he made some silly statements. Silly meaning frustration. You could tell there was frustration in his voice. But if you ever watch the rest of it, which I have, Kenny encouraged me, please watch the whole video. Kenneth Copeland turned that thing around in such a way that at the end, there was actually a very cordial exchange between the reporter. The reporter went to trap him on while he was getting in his car. And Kenneth Copeland didn't handle it the best. I'll be honest, I have much respect. But they trapped him. Folks, if you're constantly being in the spotlight, sometimes we have made mistakes and we misspoke. Why can't we give him forgiveness rather than being critical and have a national spotlight on a man because he was, maybe he misspoke a few things that was said. He said nothing wrong, by the way. Maybe it was more his approach that came across was a little harsh. It was more his approach. But this man began to just destroy the credibility of a man who's been in ministry for over 50 years with no scandal. Scandal meaning, you know, some people, oh, he lives in a house that's really big. Okay, that's not a scandal. That's what he believes. We should all believe that God wants to prosper and bless what we do. I don't care what extent you want to go into. But as he did, he went to, and I'm not going to name this preacher, it doesn't matter. Then he went to another video clip of another preacher who said, I want you to know, and I don't say this boasting, which is kind of hard to follow that statement with what he's going to say. He says, I own the biggest house in the state I live in. I have the most expensive house in the state I live in. And I'm telling you, it's because I believe, and he's in a sermon. And so as they cut clips of these different ministers ripping them apart, all I could think about was, we've just done a really good job showing the world how fruitful we are. Folks, if you don't like Kenneth Copeland or Benny Hinn or Jesse, I don't really care. But why is it our responsibility to go on public TV or some public forum and trash the rest of the body of Christ? I have enough self-control in my life that if I'm watching something that's garbage, I have the control to say, that's not my phone, that's my wallet. Anyways, my phone's in the office. Okay, I can push the off button. Just notice that, by the way, when I pulled it up. I can hit the off button. I can use self-control and not go ahead and gossip and slander the body of Christ. It damages us. Whether you like it or not, it damages us. Now, if you're with a candid conversation with you and a brother or sister you trust in the privacy of your conversations, I don't care if you want to talk about it. But why are we, as Christians, feeling it's our duty and responsibility to go trash the rest of the body of Christ? Well, those Baptists, they don't believe in the gifts of Spirit. Those people, whoa. You know what? Before you go trash their beliefs, do you know that some of those religions, denominations that don't believe the way we believe might be doing more soul winning than you're ever going to believe? And they're getting people saved left and right, and they're discipling them, and they're bringing them to the kingdom. And maybe they disagree about a little bit here, a tweak here, but we all believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and we're going to heaven. Why can't we just come align with those things and get unity there? Rather than showing the world how divided and disgruntled we are with one another, well, that man right now bought a $30 million home. He's a disgrace to the body of Christ. Wow, that's harsh. And you're a Christian who just told the world, you know what the world, so we can have an NFL player, by the way, buying a $30 million home. It's no problem, right? You're okay with that? Because they definitely earn their money playing, right? The NBA player, they play basketball. They ought to definitely have a nicer home than a preacher. Who makes that judgment? We need to stop making them because it's just harming us. It's being, we're being critical. Why can't we just say, you know what? Maybe I wouldn't buy a $30 million home even if I had $30 million. But here's what I would do. Lord, and this is a story that was, I think it was actually, this was years ago. I'm trying to remember which minister it was. It was probably 25 years ago, the story. But when a minister was complaining before the Lord, he said, Lord, I just need $5,000, and you're giving this. Look, I see these preachers talking all the time about it. They're getting $1 million here and $500,000. And the Lord said to this minister, if I gave you $500,000, what would you do with it? And he goes, I sat back there stunned. And went, I don't know. Then why would I give you $500,000? You see, until you get the blessing, maybe the reason why we're not receiving what we're asking and what we're believing for is we're not in a place where we're ready to receive it. I'm going to be real blunt with you. If some of you in this room receive $500,000 right now, I'm not sure if we'd see you again. I'm not sure if the kingdom would see you again. Not you guys. I'm saying in general. Maybe be a permanent vacation from everybody. You know, we got to be careful that when God blesses you with increase, it's because the kingdom needs to increase. The kingdom increases. And so when he opens up those doors for it to increase in you, it has to be a vessel that it flows through. That's increase. That's being fruitful in your money, by the way. Why do you think I sow? Why do you think I give my tithe and I give my offerings? I'm going to be faithful in what God's called me to be faithful in, and I'm going to let him be faithful with what he said he's going to be faithful in. And he's done it for years, and he's been faithful all the time. I'm faithful when the Lord tells me to give to so-and-so or do this or do this. When you're faithful with those things, God wants to prosper and bless everything you do. And it does look different for every different ministry, correct? Yeah. Kenneth Copeland, they say, oh, have you ever seen his home? And they rip it to shreds. Did you also know? Because I've heard Kenneth Copeland say this, and I don't know why I'm not really defending him, by the way. There's some things that he says that I don't agree with him. Very little, but some. He said, someone asked me one day, this was years ago, why I bought this house out here. He owns a lake, like, was it 40 acres or something like that, 50 acres, a ton of acreage. And it's a very large home. He said, if you don't know me very well, if it was me, I'd never leave this property. He said, I like to go out and preach the gospel, but I like to be home. And so if you ever drove in his home, yes, it's large. I've seen pictures of it. I've never been there, but you have part of the home, that's his studio. His complete TV studio is right there in one spot. His living quarters in here. His other stuff is here. And yes, he's got a lake over there. He's a country boy. He likes to fish. He likes to be on his lake. He likes his property. And you know what he did? Rather than going out and trying to find all these other places to be, he found a resort, a vacation place, his work, his home, all in one property. And you know what? How much he paid for it? I don't care. Because it's not my money. It's not my budget. But he followed what he felt was right for him. And we should be doing the same over the money that we have been blessed with too. But as I was watching that this week, it saddened me to think that the church has lost the ability to show love, joy and discipline in our own lives. When we can't love the other bodies of, now does, you know how you, you know, for some of you right now who don't like, I don't know, Joyce Meyer, I got great counsel for you today. Don't talk about Joyce Meyer then. Don't listen to her. Because then you won't be stumbling yourself. Because if you can't love the person and you can only be critical of them, then stay away from it. It's not doing you any good. Because let's be real. If you turn down the person you don't like, what are you looking for? Not what you can find agreement with, but what you can disagree with. You're constantly looking around and being critical. And when you're done, you weren't built up. You're more frustrated when you're done. And then we go out and we make it worse. We go tell everybody else about it. So my encouragement for you this morning is this. Whether it's a minister, whether it's a ministry, whether it's a fellow believer that you know in this town, whatever it is, let us use more discipline in what we say about them. And let's be more loving. And let's have the joy of the Lord show forth in everything that we do. Because that is the fruit the world needs to see, not the stuff they're watching every day. Amen? Let's keep reading. This is my commandment, verse 12, that you love one another. Oh, I just kept reading. As I have loved you, greater love hath no man than this, and man lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatever I command. Oh, you're my friend if you do it. If you do whatever I command. Those ifs in this chapter are really getting you, aren't they? Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what the Lord does. But I have called you friends. For all things have I heard my Father, have I made known to you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Why? Why did he choose you? I love this. But rather than arguing about that part, which is a lot of fun, right? Let's go and keep reading. You didn't choose me. Because when you were created on this planet, I had a purpose for your life. I had a plan for you. What is it? I ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you shall ask in my Father's name, he may give it to you. These things I command, that you love one another. Walking in love, abiding in love, and living out a fruitful life is God's plan for every single believer. I chose you. Why? To be fruitful. I don't care if being fruitful means it's going to work and being fruitful in the environment God called you to be. Are you bearing fruit? Are people seeing your love, seeing your joy, seeing your discipline, and seeing the way you live and realize that person has something greater in them than's in me? I want what they got. That's being fruitful. Now, the other thing is if you turn over to Hebrews chapter 12 with me just for a second. I do really like this passage, and those that want to take an exit to the right real quick and say, oh, I don't really want to hear this. Let's read this, though. This is powerful. The first few verses I quote all the time, but I just love quoting these verses, these first ones. Let's just read them. Let's just start. Verse 1, thank you. They already have it up there. Wherefore, seeing we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which has beset us, letting us run the race of patience, the race that's set before us with patience. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and seeing himself seated at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you should be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you and to my children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, for nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as a son. For what son is he without the father chastening him not? For if you be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we much rather be in subjection to the Father, the spirits, and live? For they verily in a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening. Ready, verse 11. That's good. For the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. This is a scripture that we love to preach. I love it. Whom the Lord loves, he scourges. He corrects. He disciplines. He prunes. He cuts away what's not fruitful because it's not bearing fruit. Whom the Lord loves, he brings correction to. Whom the Lord loves, he cuts away those things that are unfruitful in their life so they can be fruitful. This is not a hateful thing. It's not an evil thing. It's a loving thing. When people around you love you, they should not enable behavior in you that is unfruitful. Anybody? Just want to smile real quick and go, I hope you go by this point really quick. Remember, there's two points I'm going to make this morning. Being fruitful and being pruned. I'll get to the fruitful in just a second. But being pruned does require us to feel it for a minute. When someone cuts your branch, you're going to feel it. A little snip, snip hurts a little bit. But it doesn't hurt for long. It means that branch was not fruitful. It means there was something on the branch that could destroy you and possibly kill you. There was something on the branch that would have led you to a place that you didn't need to be. There was something on the branch that might have just been dead weight that was holding the tree down to give life to other parts of the tree that needs it. So we cut that back so you can sprout out something new and have a new beginning and a new joy, but it does require us to cut it back first. The very first thing I'm going to ask everyone in this room today is whether you have a branch that's huge, bearing fruit, and you need a few of the little small branches cut off, or your branch is way over here by the vine, you need to cut back a little bit more. I don't care where you are in your branch sizes and places and fruit. I do believe this. Every one of us in this room needs to stay pruned. How? If you go back and look at Colossians 1 with me real quick, I'm just going to just give this verse real quick, and then I'm going to go back because, well, actually, if you go back, hold on, my notes. Let me look back at my notes. It's the word in verse, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll bear fruit. The word is what prunes you. It's his word. Let's go to Colossians 1 still. I'm not done. I wasn't lying. I'm still going to go there. Colossians chapter 1, right after Philippians. There you go. All right, verse 6. Oh, see, once again, I'm cutting in the middle of something, aren't I? Okay, verse 5. For the hope which is laid up in heaven, whereof you've heard in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you. What's come to you? The word. The word came to you in the truth of the gospel. And it brings forth fruit, as it doth also in the sense you day you heard it and you knew the grace and the truth. Let me stop there. I'm going to go back to Colossians 1 in just a minute, but just leave it there. The word which was brought to you in truth caused you to bear fruit. The word is truth, and that is the very pruning agent that God uses in your life. It's his word. If he comes to you and he corrects you with something in his word. His word must get so alive in you that Hebrews 4:12 goes on to say, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts asunder flesh and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's how powerful the word of God is. It can go in there and sever little areas, bone and marrow, flesh and spirit, and it goes into the very heart intentions of what you do. So we must, when we allow God and his word to come alive in us, it will prune you if it's not lining up with his word. Let him prune you with his word. Get in his word every day. And let that grow in such a way that when you see something in the word that is contrary to your life, cut that thing off in your life and let the word prune you to that day. You can also do it through prayer and letting him, his word come to you directly. There's times where even this week as I was driving, as I turned off, I finally, by the way, only watched that video for about 10 minutes until I had to cut it off myself because I was going to start getting critical of the preacher that was preaching against the other preachers. So I'm like, I got to stop. So I shut that off, and then I just started praying a little bit as I was driving north. And the Lord began to deal with me on some areas that, well, you know what? Just as that guy was there, how are you doing your heart with these issues? And the Lord began to speak to me without needing his written word, but he just began to speak with me and deal with my heart on some areas that maybe I was being critical in. We need to be pruned. We need to be cut back so we don't allow those things that go in our life to bear fruit the wrong way. We become unfruitful, but we could be fruitful, causing the enemy to allow the enemy to come and do things too. We got to be aware of these things. Let the word work in you to prune you, to chasten you, to discipline you. And it doesn't seem good for a minute, but it will bear fruit. And that's what we're longing for, right? We won't be fruit bearers. All right, let's go back to John 15. You're back there? Let me just list a few things. As you verse 16, you've not chosen me. I chose you. Why? So you bear much fruit. So let me just ask you a few things. And I want to summarize. This is the end of the series that we're doing on the Holy Spirit. We're not going to stop talking about the Holy Spirit, by the way. We're not going to stop living in the Spirit. But we are going to start preaching a series on who the Holy Spirit is and his gifts and his manifestations and the fruit that goes from him. So this is kind of my big conclusion. I told Kenny before we got going, I'm gonna end it all with a big bow. I want every one of you to, in just a minute, walk out of here knowing that you have been filled with all the goodness and all the filling that you need of God's Spirit in your life. But by that, I also want you to know what it means. It doesn't mean that you walk out of here feeling like you had some Pentecostal experience. It walks out of here now knowing who the Holy Spirit is in you, what his function is in you, and how he can manifest his life through you, whether it's the gifts or the fruit. Either way, it ought to flow through you. Those things ought to flow through you because he lives inside of you. And that's what we're going to walk out of here with in just a few minutes. I have a few things I wrote down. I want to gauge my fruit. I'm not going to be a fruit inspector. I'm not going to try to inspect what fruit of yours I like or don't like. I'm not going to do that. I just want to know, here are some gauges I want you to look. If you drive another road and you have a car that you're driving, hopefully, you see a bunch of gauges. Those gauges could tell you something. I ignore some of mine. That's why Mark likes me walking in. Hey, did you put oil in the car? It's not running. Did you put gas in it? I mean, I just ask him dumb questions. The radiator fluid, did you have antifreeze in there? Well, yeah, of course. At some point we put it in there, I'm sure. You know, didn't you fix it last? Well, yeah, I'm sure you put it in there, you know. But those gauges ought to indicate where you are and your vehicle's health. So let's start here. Number one. You don't have to write these down, but if you can, you want to. Number one, if we're going to be fruitful, how is your intimacy with God? How is it? This week, almost every week, I have a chance just to throw some worship music on and just get before him. And I don't pray when I do that. Some of you like to pray with music. I can't. It's terrible. You know, there's a song called Forever by Carrie Joe that I just love. I don't know why. It's one of the songs I really like. So I always play that one first on my list. And I'm starting to pray. And about halfway through the first verse, I'm like, I just start singing. Next thing you know, I forgot what I was praying about. Because it's just so difficult. I can't do both. It's like, I want to worship. And so then I'm just driving on the road. I keep my eyes open a little bit, by the way. You guys wonder, I do a lot when I'm driving. I watch movies. I watch videos. You guys are thinking, this guy's now you know why I'm not a very good driver. I never pay attention. But as I just got this music blaring, and I'm just saying, I begin to worship. And almost every time, almost every week, I have to fight back a tear once in a while. Because I just realize and overwhelmed that a God is so awesome and so powerful, loves me so much, that it overwhelms me to think this God has billions of people around the planet. I don't know how many there are. There's a lot. And he can see me driving down this road, worshiping him as if it was the audience of one. And I can just drive and just think. And then as I fight back tears a little bit, just I'm not even now thinking about the words I'm singing. I'm just encountering God intimately. And then the music fades off, and I have no idea what's... I have the same playlist every time. There's like 20-something songs on my playlist. I have no idea what song two was. Because song one, I get so moved by that by song two, I'm in now a place where I'm driving, remembering kind of where I'm going, but I'm worshiping. And I'm worshiping because my spirit is connected to God in such a way the words I say are irrelevant. At that point in my life, all I did was connect, and I worshiped from my spirit to him. And you think, that's weird. No, I don't remember because I don't care what words I'm using. I am in the throne of God, and I am worshiping. My attention is at him, and I'm worshiping. And at some point, I get back in there, and I can. Normally, it's because a song catches me, and I begin to sing it again. I'm like, oh, thanks a lot, song. You ruined that moment I was having, but that was because that's what I needed the moment. And then I go into, I turn the radio down a bit, and then I begin to do some praying and moving on. And what? I want to make sure. And before I get into some prayer life of mine or some ministry mode or mindset, I want to make sure my intimacy with God is right. I want to make sure that me and God are intimate. That is the fruit. You will not bear fruit. We will not be fruitful in our lives if you lose the very source of your life. It's intimacy with God. Are you spending quality time? And yes, it can be driving. Mine's not always driving, by the way. It can be a lot, though. Are you spending that quality time with intimacy? Allowing him to speak to you, not just you speak to him. Allowing yourself just to worship him because he's worthy of it, not just on Sunday mornings. That's a good indicator if you look at in your life how fruitful you are. If your intimacy level is low, your fruit level will probably be low too. How about this one? This is a really good one. This actually is very similar, but it's very, very different because this is something the Lord needs to deal all of us with, I think. Another great indicator is if you took the hours of a week you had, how are you spending them? And let's take out this time with God because I already talked about that. Is your time fruitful? Are you working 80, spending 4 hours a week with your family, 20 minutes with God, and 6 hours sleeping? That's not fruitful. You're not fruitful if your time is not being spent properly. Are you looking at a clock and realizing, am I honoring the Lord with my hours of the day? If you have, your priorities ought to be A, B, C, D, and if priority D and C are taking more time than A and B, do you think there might be a problem there? I know in my life, I was just laying this out before the Lord this week. And that's why I had the privilege of taking a lot of I think I only worked 3 days outside of church this week. It was fun. I spent more time home doing other things I needed to do. Because even myself, I can get so busy being led by other things that you forget that your priorities are A, B, C, D in that order, not the other. And your time has to be fruitful. You've only been given 24 hours a day to live. You've only given 7 days and how many years we have, we better use those appropriately because that's how you bear fruit. The clock that we have to live in and honor God with it. Another one is this, is the relationships that we have with our family and friends. And I just wrote this out there. It's a cliche, I know, but it's okay. I wrote it anyways. Are they surviving or are they thriving? Is your relationship at home with your children, with your wife, with your husband, with your friendships, are they surviving or are they thriving? You see, I look at this and I gauge everything in my life based on the quality of the time I have with the people I'm with. If I have quality time with, like this week, most of my quality time with my son now, because he's not here, is the phone. And we'll call and talk, and on the phone when I'm driving somewhere, I'll shoot him a text and he'll call me. And we spend quality time on the phone together. With my wife, we're getting time together, quality time. The friendships that I have in my life, the ones I spend the most time with, are the ones I'm gonna that have the quality time with, are the ones that you know that have put me as a priority in their life and I put them at a priority. You see, relationships only grow when you make it a priority. If you don't make it a priority and those relationships go by the wayside, marriages included, that's why we have divorce. That's why we have children running away. That's why we have friendships. Why? Because when we don't make people a priority, there's no fruit in that relationship. And I don't want to walk out of this life I'm in right now and go back and go, boy, if I would have just spent that extra few hours a week with my family or with my friends or with this person or that person, if I would have spent more time with them and showed them that time was more important than me spending an extra hour at work or an extra hour over here on the golf course or an extra hour over here doing this, and I would have spent that one more hour there or I would have made that one more phone call there, I would have went there one more time. This week, I had two people that I knew pretty well both pass. It was really good because just last week when I was at the hospital with Jerry, and he told me point blank to my face that he's done, he wants to go home and be the Lord. And I asked him this exact quote. I said, can I change your mind? He said, nope. I'm ready to go home. I said, well, I'll see you one day. And today we get to say bye to him at his service today. What do we do between, you know, the old cliche? What do we do during the dash? What do we do during the dash? Are we being fruitful during the dash? We're born here, we die here. But what are we doing in the middle? Are we being fruitful? Are we being disciplined, loving, joyful people, causing everyone around us grow in fruit? And that's my heart. Now, the last thing I want to share this morning, and the worship team, if you want to come on up here, I'm done with everything but this last point. Kenny did a great job, and I even asked him this morning, his last minute, so that's why he said no. And I knew he was going to say no. I told him, I said, you're going to say no before I ask you this, but he did a great job going through the gifts of the Spirit when he was talking in his series. And I spent most of my time walking out the things of the Spirit, your everyday life. But one of the other things that I like to see in our lives is this, and the reason I put my Bible away is because if I don't, I'm going to go back to a bunch of scriptures and we're not going to get out of here until 2:00. So I'm going to be very respectful and not do that. But here's my heart. I want to see a church that's Spirit-filled do everything I just preached about, because that's what Jesus talked about. Jesus talked about being loving and disciplined and being fruitful in your lives. Now, the New Testament, we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit and the manifestation of the Spirit. And I want to be a church that also operates that way. But I want to operate that way with the way that God has called us to do. The gifts and the manifestation of the Spirit are not just for Sunday mornings. Do you know my opinion on this one, just real quick? I want to be more fruitful. And I think I might have said this the last 2 weeks at some point. I want to be more fruitful in Walmart with my gift of prophecy than I do on a Sunday morning. I want to be more fruitful with the ministry of healing out there in the world to demonstrate who God is in my life than I do right here. I want it to happen here. Don't get me wrong. We're not going away from wanting God to manifest himself here. But we as believers, being fruitful in the gifts and the manifestation of the Spirit, ought to be doing it out there in the world. Have you ever seen Todd White? I think I even shared a video one Sunday years ago with him. He will walk up to strangers on a street and say, the Lord will lead him to somebody, and goes, and have a word of knowledge for him right there on the spot. That dude would be like, whoa, wait a minute here. How'd you know that about me? And I love it. What did Todd White just do? He allowed the Holy Spirit to bear fruit in his life in such a way that he was able to give that man a word from God about a situation that man was dealing with. And you know what it opened up to? The gospel and salvation. We have to get a higher priority of loving the world and getting them saved than we are right now. You know my heart last night? When I saw Chris Tomlin get on there, and yes, I'd be one of those guys probably in the concert. I'd be singing along with some Florida Georgia Line or whatever it was. I probably would be. But when he got up there and I saw him do How Great Is Our God, all I could think about was, how many people around me, if I was standing in that audience, worshiping God, singing How Great Is Our God, how many people around me are going straight way to hell and I did nothing about it? Are we going to get a mandate in our lives that we love people so much that we do not want them to go to hell? I don't know if it was, my brother will correct me, I thought it was Spurgeon or whatever, it was one of those great, great preachers of the faith back in the day that said, if they're going to go to hell, they're going to go, but they're going to go over it, have to leaping over my body to get there. Spurgeon, thank you. I told you, he's lied a lot. He knows a lot. Let him leap over my body to get there. Are we being an obstacle for the world to go to hell? Or are we being an enabler for them to go to hell? Are they looking at our behavior and our lack of fruit? And they're going, well, Adam doesn't live much better. I mean, I don't reckon I... Yeah, you know, he does. He seems nice. But does he seem changed? Does he seem like somebody who knows Jesus? And has he shared Jesus with me? Because ultimately, as Christians, the best fruit we can bear on this planet is souls being saved for the kingdom of God. Yes, miracles and signs and wonders will follow those that believe it. And I'm all for it, and I want to see that. But I want to see the greatest miracle. And that is what Jesus came to do, seek and save those which were lost. And I know I'm a little bit fired up right now. That's why I put my Bible away, because I know it's good. A bunch of scriptures. I want to be a fruitful believer, but I want to see the fruit where there's an old song called Thank You by Ray Bolton. Yes, I know where he's with the Lord. I mean, I don't know where he's with the Lord, but I know where his lifestyle's not our Lord. And I'm still praying he comes back. I'm still praying that the conviction of God, that man wrote some great songs, but he said a song that brought tears to my eyes. Thank you for giving the Lord. I am a life that was changed, the chorus said. Because of you being the preacher of the good news and you being obedient to bring in the word to this soul that God has called out, you were there at the inception of the seed that was planted, and you watered the seed with the word, and the word bore fruit, and salvation came to that person. You were there. And the joy of leading someone to the throne and being able to pray with them their sinner's prayer and tell them you can repent of your sins and you can ask Jesus to come in your life and you can be saved is one of the greatest feelings. You know, I'll pick on Denny Walls. I love him. It was right here at this chair, right here. Right there. And he gave his life to Jesus. Stop. This is exciting to me. He was right there in that chair, Denny. He prayed and asked Jesus to come and be the Lord of his life. And to me, that's the greatest joy that we have as Christians. We're going to be fruitful. It can't just be a charismatic experience or a church experience. It's got to get out there. And the fruit that comes in here is those that have got an encounter with Jesus. It's time for us to bear fruit. It's time for us to be more fruitful than we are right now. And that's my heart cry day. Is I want to end this series about the Holy Spirit with this. The Holy Spirit works in through you to manifest his goodness, his power, and everything. But it's also that we become fruitful believers to the world around us. Amen? Let's stand this morning.